Oh, motherfucking shit. It's Wednesday, the 26th, 27th. I don't fucking even know no more with dates. It's just a beautiful fucking motherfucking day to be alive. And guess what? You're in it, cocksucker. Joey D is here to church. What's happening now, my main man, Lee the Flying Juiciette. Kick it, Lee. So I know you got your gat, your dick on hard. Oh, shit. Your road, your hood you grew up with, niggas you grew up with. Oh, shit, Lee. That's why it's time for the doctor to check your ass, nigga. Used to be my homie. Beautiful motherfucking day. You know what I'm saying? And this is the way it goes. The church of what's happening now coming at you. Wednesday, what is it, the 26th, Lee? 27th, I think
it's the 27th.
Yeah, we got about three joints to smoke today, Lee. I don't want no jump. We got this fucking gorilla finger, and we got these two bats from hell. I think Satan rolled one of those.
Well, we'll see if I'm alive at the end of the podcast.
You're always fucking alive, cocksucker. It's a beautiful day to be alive. What are you down, 68 fucking pounds?
65.
You fucking, your asshole smells like cucumbers and shit.
Oh, and it's fucking gross.
Is it? Your asshole?
I know why animals' manure stinks. All they're eating is vegetables. It smells exactly like that.
Like manure? Yeah, it's terrible.
It's gross.
You can't even sweat. You couldn't. Where's Rose? She call?
No, she's in Boston.
Jesus fucking Christ. Beautiful day to be alive, people. Everything's great today. Fucking, it's weird what happened last night. So, Lee calls me last night. About 9:30, Lee, and I called you back.
No, you called me back at like 9:30.
Called you back. What happened was, ever since I've had the baby, I fucking hate working out at night because of your metabolism. But sometimes I get caught up with the baby, and that's a good thing about the Muay Thai America, that they have a 8 o'clock at night class, and it goes to about 9:30, 10. Real heavy-duty class, couple people in there jumping ropes, sit-ups. They got coconut water, the whole fucking thing. So Lee called me when I was in there, and I called Lee when I got out, and he's like, "Wow, you're doing comedy." I go, "No, I was supposed to do comedy." And the kid called me like at 7. He's like, "Well, the room, we don't know if we're gonna have enough people. We want to have." I said, "Fuck it, don't worry. We didn't get a chance to advertise. Don't worry about it." So Lee called. I called Lee back, and we're talking, and then I hang up with Lee, and I go to the weed store, the one on Burbank, NoHo Organic.
Okay,
all right, and I park on the street. They didn't have parking spots in the parking lot, so I parked on Burbank Boulevard. I go in to the weed store. I get a G Bolaroo. I get some joints for you. He offers me an edible. Nice people. I love Jay. I really like those guys over at NoHo Organic. They're my night because they're open to 11.
Wow.
They're open to 11, sometimes 12. You know, the other one, Divine Wellness, closes at 8. And there's no fucking parking on Lancashire after 6. So no. It's a motherfucker. So I go over there, I pick up a gram, they have chocolate candy bars. They do good over there. They got the fucking vapor pen. They got the 5-hour energy THC drink. They got
really?
Everything. Yeah. It's oh, shit. So I get, my phone rings, and I'm talking to somebody as I'm, the phone rings as I'm walking out the first door at the weed store. There's 1, 2, 3 doors.
Okay.
You walk the first door, and I can't answer it because there's cameras, but the second door, I hit it. Now I got my shorts on with some t-shirts drenched. Track sneakers on, and I got a hooded sweatshirt on, but it's an old one that I used to work out. Like, if I get on the floor and I wash it every week, it's disgusting. Like, if I go to YMCA and I do the treadmill, I'll take it off and throw it on the floor.
Okay.
So, but it's small. So between my gut and the car seat, whenever I sit, it makes the wallet pop out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So,
this is a Jew's nightmare.
A Jew's fucking nightmare. I get into the car, boom. I get to my house. I run up the stairs, and there's no wallet. I use it. I go, let me see. It's down in the car. So I wash my pussy first. I get like a fucking protein drink in me. And I go, let me go look at my car. I look throughout the fucking car. No fucking wallet.
Oh, no.
I go back upstairs, look in the bag. No wallet. Look in the trunk. No wallet. When I went in, I had my wallet because I had to pay with the weed. I usually don't put my cash in my wallet. But when I go to the schools or whatever, I put whatever I have in the thing.
Yeah.
I go back. I get in the car. I try to get NoHo Organic on the phone.
Yeah.
There's no information for these weed stores. They got these numbers.
No.
And the guy's like, what kind of business is it? And I'm like, they sell fucking tremendous weed, cocksucker. Do you know I get back in my fucking car, and I go to Burbank Boulevard, and I'm right there at the left to go to the... You know, like I'm headed to the 134 to 170.
Yeah.
I look over and from my car, I could see my wallet on the street.
No, you can't.
Yes, I could. And I could see three kids with a fucking dog were walking. And as I made the left, I seen two black kids walking right past. Nobody looked at the fucking wallet. I went back, picked up my wallet, and came the fuck home, dog.
You got lucky shit.
That's the second time. One time I went to the Flappers in Burbank.
Uh-huh.
And that's fucking that way.
Oh, that's far.
Right, that's far.
You probably say, fuck it.
I parked across the street from Bonnie's Beanery because I couldn't figure out parking in that area. It was my first couple few times.
Yeah.
And I walked over to the, whatever the fuck it is.
The mall?
The Flappers.
Uh-huh.
And I get back in my car, come all the way home, I park. I go for my wallet and in there.
No.
Dog, I did 90 down fucking Magnolia Boulevard. Because listen, the wallet isn't about the cash. The wallet, it's about the shit in there that you got to call 15 fucking people now. And you got to go to the DMV. But here's what you're really thinking about the whole time you're looking for your wallet. You're like, I got to go down there and deal with those fucking greasy motherfuckers for a day. Because the DMV ain't no fucking joke. They're like the Wu-Tang Clan. It's going to take you an hour and a fucking half to get down there. That's all I was thinking about. I drove all the way back at 12:30. This time, it was in the middle of the street, like by the yellow line.
No.
Like I had dropped it on the walk to the car, and it was there again. This wallet's a fucking savage.
Jesus, I just got a new wallet because my old one was falling apart. And you gotta put it, like I put it in the front pocket because the back pocket, it would fall out all the time.
And you got one of those Jew wallets where you open it up and fucking, the fucking president is like, clap. He hasn't seen daylight in years.
A brown leather one. Oh shit.
No, but look, take the first bill out. That bill hasn't seen daylight in fucking 200 years.
I never use these. I have $8 in my wallet.
And you never use it.
No, I use
that card. Motherfucker. George Washington is fucking in there. He's asleep. He hasn't been that. Jews, you can give him $100 bill and mark it. I remember Josh Wolf had $100 bill one time for like 3 years that I had given him. He would show it to me to torment me. $100 bill, I still fucking got it. You motherfucker. He would just shoot. You fucking Jews, I'll give you a 20. That motherfucker will still be eyeing the year later with dust on it. And shit.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
The fucking, you motherfuckers make those nickels scream. You squeeze that fucking bird to that motherfucker. Quack, quack, quack.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. Get up, you fucking sacks of shit. Just like me. Get up. Get up. You know, it's funny, when I went to prison, I was thinking about this in the shower until after like my first month when I got settled.
Mm-hmm.
A guy came up to me. He's like, listen, man, not for nothing. You're a little too happy in the mornings. A lot of guys are in here doing life. You know, you got to tone it down a little bit. People might think you're a little weird. And I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? You have to accept your fate if you got life. I knew I was going to do 2 years. I wasn't going nowhere. I wasn't thinking about escaping. I ain't one of those motherfuckers, so you got to accept your fate and just deal with the best fucking hand they gave you for the day.
That's a weird thing.
Every day we got a fucking new hand. Can you believe that? Somebody came up to me and said, you're too happy in the morning.
Well, I can understand it from their point of view, kind of. I mean, if you're there for life, and because, I mean, as someone who would fucking die within 4 minutes in jail.
Who?
Me.
You would not die.
Yes,
you
I would.
You would be surprised how you know, that experience was one of the best experiences of my life because I'm here because of it.
Uh-huh.
But it also gave me a certain life confidence. It also gave me, it was just weird that I overcame it. Before I went and got locked up, I swam every day. I hit the fucking bag. I got a boxing coach. I learned how to throw kicks again. You know, I thought I was going to go in there and fight for my fucking life. And it's how you compose yourself, how you walk around in there, the things you do. It's just on the fucking street. Oh, it's based on character.
I already decided I would punch a guard in the face, and I could do solitary. But no, I love those like documentary things of in jail, like the behind the scenes or whatever. And a lot of the people who are in there for life talk about how you can't think about the outside, and it's a normal life to them now. So
it's a normal life. You have to. The only way you're gonna do that time is by being in. It's fucking hysterical how people think doing time you got to be locked up. It's not doing time. I did the worst time I did was after I got out. In my head, I was in hell, you know, after I got out.
Mm-hmm.
Time could be just a state of mind where your head's at for 6 or 7 months, and you don't even know why you're there. You don't even realize it till years later. This is the advantages of being fucking 50 and talking to you young guys, that sometimes your head goes in places that you can't fucking figure out.
Man. Oh, yeah.
And it's something that happens, a trigger. For years, I walked around dead after my divorce, you know, losing my kid, and just the way they punked me, just the punking.
Mm-hmm.
It was like somebody kicked you in the stomach and you couldn't do nothing about it because they're going to throw you in jail, or you just can't do something about it. That's the worst feeling in the fucking world.
That's crazy that's worse than jail. Just like when you think, like, I've never gone through it, but yeah.
Worse than fucking jail. You know, after you're in a country like the United States and you go to Cuba and you can't play Led Zeppelin. that's jail.
Yeah.
You know, when you meet, when I met my cousin that day for the first time, we were at Jerry's Deli or Cantor's talking about music. And they were telling me how 20 people would get together to listen to a Led Zeppelin album. And you couldn't listen to it loud. You had to listen to it kind of low and you'd rock to it. And then you have to hide the album.
Really?
And if they search your house and they find Led Zeppelin, you go to fucking jail for a year.
Why Led Zeppelin?
Just anybody. Just anything that was American like that. I'm just saying Led Zeppelin. It could be Eric Clapton. It could be fucking Rihanna.
Anything American. Oh, shit. Okay.
That's freedom of speech. They want you to listen to fucking communist propaganda all day about Fidel. You know, on Sundays in Cuba, in the old days, they'd make you fucking get up and go to some square in Havana. And yeah, listen to Fidel talk for 10 fucking hours.
Oh.
And there'd be people watching you. If you didn't clap, they'd fucking take you out of there and throw you in jail for a day or so. You had to fucking clap after every... thing you fucking said. That's what I got. I gotta get some of those people to come to my fucking comedy show. And if people don't fucking laugh, they get beat the fuck up. You following? Here, take hysterical. A couple hits of this. Don't leave me here like a fucking one-armed soldier. Get up, wash your pussy, get some oatmeal, some strawberries, something. Something. A cheese sandwich, something. Get the fucking day going. Get out of the house. Might be sunny, it might be snowing. If it's snowing, get a fucking shovel. Help people shovel out. Charge them $10. You'll make a quick fucking deuce. Tell them you got no fucking work and you need helping people. That's it. Get the fuck out of the house. A beautiful day to be alive. Go down to the Valley College in your neighborhood. Sign up for an electrician's class. Tell them you're fucking poor. And they'll let you do payments and do half price. How do I know? Because I fucking did it. Get up, cocksucker. Get up. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Let's talk about lifestyle.
Okay.
Very interesting conversation last night I had after I called you. I didn't have my glasses. Somebody called me and I called them back. There was a dear friend of mine that I've known for about 15 years out here. And she just got out of her fourth rehab in 2 years.
Okay. Jesus.
So she was asking me if I had heard that she was in rehab. I said, of course. You know, and she goes, everybody fucking knows. And it's funny, we got into a conversation. And 4 minutes into it, she started going off on her life and how she was going to change now and how she didn't want to completely stop drinking, but the courts told her she had to stop drinking and that she's still going to drink from time to time. And I'm listening to this. I love it dearly. And I'm listening to her fucking babble about this shit. And I wanted to raise my hand. But she's one of those people that, you know, people who stink of vodka.
Yeah.
And if you say to them, it smells like vodka, they'll go, I haven't drank in 3 days. And you want to say to them, are you fucking kidding me? But you know, if you say that, you're going to get into an argument.
Yeah.
And you go to yourself, I'm not even going to say nothing, you know?
Especially after 4 rehabs, you kind of just...
4 fucking rehab. And she's still not a fucking alkie and... It's not her drinking driving. It's not, you know. She falls. So her ex-husband goes over and she's got a fucking black eye, a contusion on her fucking head. And she'll say that the kids threw a snowball. It's always something. It's one of those fucking things.
Yeah.
And listen, man, I'm the type of guy that I'm either in 100% or I'm out. Once I can't help you, I'm out. I'm your friend, but I can't help you.
Yeah.
You don't want my help. You're going to come to me with some Chinese fucking story about how... You're only going to drink wine coolers. This is what she's telling me last night. She's like, I'm only going to drink wine. You smoking this or what?
I just did smoke.
Were you here? Was it a spirit of Lee? I couldn't tell. I expected a little fat, chubby Jew. He came back looking like Steve Reeves. You know who Steve Reeves is?
Absolutely not.
Superman.
Oh, okay. Christopher Reeves.
Before him, you fuck. I don't fucking know. I'm still like a motherfucker. So I'm talking to her and she's telling me this plan she's got. And I'm listening to this on the phone, and I'm ready to fucking yell. And I just stopped, and I said like a prayer in my head. You know, I said, you know, God bless her, because this is fucking crazy. This is crazy. And I went home, and I think it was before the wallet. That's why I was pissed, because I got involved with her on the phone, and then I went upstairs. And it's just weird how people don't understand when you have an addiction or something like that. It's not, everything's temporary for 90 days. Like right now, you're doing a rehab in a way. You
have a time out
from the food. Now, your next 90 days are the most important. Because the next 90 days are the steps in your life. It's the driving past McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
It's the making deals with yourself. It's preparing, you know. I started at 418 pounds. You didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I went to Nakafoli and I boxed. And I would wear underwear and 2 pairs of shorts. Because in between my breaths, I would pee my pants.
That's fucking crazy.
You're That's like- fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy. I couldn't walk upstairs with groceries. Because it was either breathing or carrying the fucking groceries. And by the time I got upstairs, I'd have to hold the wall.
That's fucking
and
bananas.
The piss would come out according to my breath. So it would come out and then not pee. And then it would come out and not pee. I was 418 pounds. I was, at the time of my diet, I hadn't done blow in like 3 years or something.
Is that when you gained most of your weight?
2 years, and I hadn't smoked cigarettes in like 5 years.
Okay.
And no. I had the weight kept coming out from the sleep apnea and the fucking terrible diet. The weight kept coming out.
I didn't know if you replaced blow with food. Or
okay. No. I food was always number one to blow. You know. So and with me, it's not the food addiction as much as I like really good food.
Mm-hmm.
I love healthy food, and when I say healthy food is, you know, Taco Bell is good when you're high. But the nutritional value will kill you. If you eat Taco Bell 8 times a week, it not only gets you fat, it does other things to you.
Oh, yeah.
It does other things to you, like McDonald's and all these fast food things. So, like I said, I was very fortunate. My mom didn't like me and didn't let me eat fucking fast food as a kid. So then it really knocked it out. And even when I was hustling and poor and whatever, I'd always try to get the best shit, you know. But when I first started working out with NACA, I thought I would go in there. I would go in there for 6 minutes. And then NACA would say, just go hit the bag. But I go, you know what? This can't be. What if I get jumped by 3 fucking Puerto Ricans? I got to be able to hold my own. So I keep going back there.
Yeah.
$40 a pop.
Holy shit.
$40 a pop. Because at that time, I was just doing personal training with him.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour of boxing training. $40 a pop. And I did that all through November and mm-hmm. December. And I went from 418 to 390 over the holidays, which is big. And how I really did it was just the secondary foods, the secondary calories, the mayonnaises, the sodas. I first started drinking water. I mean, guys, I was like you for fucking years. I drank water with meals, but after I drank 6 Cokes.
Oh, yeah.
So I would drink 6 Cokes with Chinese food and then drink a thing of water with lemon and go, wow, I'm healthy. You know? And then I read, like, that November. I was ready to fucking do... No, I wasn't going to tap out to the surgery yet. I was going to do the diet you were doing online with the food.
Nutrisystem, yeah.
Nutrisystem. And I remember this chick, Marilyn, that I had 2 friends that really did well with Weight Watchers. And I talked to her, and she broke it down. Well, I didn't talk to them when I talked to her years earlier. And me and my friend Rick Ramos went, and I learned that when you could work out like a lunatic, but if you're not eating right, the diet won't happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. Everybody calls it a diet. If you call it a diet, you're going to fail because you look at it as something as, it's a fucking diet. Nobody likes that word diet. That means I can only eat no cookies instead of, but it's not really like that.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that you're going to eat a fucking cookie.
Yeah.
And I want you to eat a cookie. That's why fucking Nabisco made them.
But have one instead of a box.
And have one instead of a box. Or have 3 instead of a box, knowing that day you did an extra 20 minutes on a bicycle. You know, it's really important that you weigh your time. When I say that is, I love, my wife gets those 100-calorie snacks.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll eat them, and I won't count them on Weight Watchers. Because, again, it's 100 calories. It's 2 points or something like that. But, you know, I'll eat 6 of them in a day, which is fucking 10 points. That makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't even, you know what it takes to burn off fucking 6 points?
Hours, probably.
30 minutes on a fucking... You put like elliptical
and shit. Going hard, yeah,
and going, you know, on the weight fat burn program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do 30 fucking minutes, because remember, on the bicycle I could do what do you call that shit? I could do 230 calories in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I could do 330 minutes on the fucking elliptical. It's amazing the contrast in calories.
Yeah,
it's like double. It really is fucking double. But after you get off the elliptical, you go, that was fucking 3 of those things. And you start going worth towards, that's how you start. You know,
yeah.
It takes a long time. People always say you got to, with anything, even with addiction to fucking sucking cock or addiction to coke. I was addicted to coke. And I know that I was ready to stop. I was like everybody else, that you can't put their pants on. You're sick of walking upstairs. You're sick of having to get a shirt that's an extra large. You know, when you're fat, that's a lot of work being fat.
Yeah.
It's just not fucking eating. You got to go out there and hustle clothes that fit. You got to go. Marshalls don't have larger than 2X.
No.
So you got to wear a shirt that's tight on you sometimes. So you got to wear a jacket over it and shit to hide the fucking rolls. I mean, we all fucking know. One day you go, I ain't doing this no more. You know, it's so weird. I watched your tape. I watched all your tapes.
Oh, thanks,
you know?
Buddy.
Sure. We're a family. And if you look at the first six of them, they're fucking horrendously. I wanted to shoot you in the head.
The first week is tough.
So what I want you to do is I want you to put those on your computer. And next time you want a burger, and I want you to download it to your phone. I want you to see yourself. You look great now. You don't have bags under your eyes. That shit was killing you.
Yeah.
So it was funny. The other day, I didn't say nothing, Lee. I just said to you, I could look at a place and tell you what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I could look at a restaurant and tell you what. When you go to McDonald's and you look at the salad at McDonald's, it's got that glaze to it. It has the not so healthy. It's like, it looks like somebody, whoever grew that lettuce, was smoking cigarettes on it and blowing fucking smoke on it instead of putting water on it. That's what McDonald's food looks like when you look at it in the whole.
Mm-hmm.
All these other places do the same thing. They just glaze it up a little bit. It's when you get into that $40 range of restaurant that they don't add the extra shit to the fries to dope you up. You said it yourself, McDonald's, Burger King, those people have to have something in that food.
Oh, yeah.
To be addicted to this. Like them cigarettes. You know, every time I'm on Lancashire and what is it? That one street where McDonald's is a 170 there?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I see that McDonald's. It's never not busy.
Never.
That drive-thru is fucking packed. And you sit there and I try to justify, well, it's across from a gas station. Right? That, mm-hmm. That's the one with McDonald's. And I look at all the people going there for cigarettes. And I was one of those people.
Yep.
So I understand what it feels like. That they tell you every fucking day that shit's going to fucking ruin your asshole. But you're still sitting online. So, you know, the other night I was watching your, and you were saying that you didn't want to eat quinoa and you didn't want to do this. And in a way, you sounded like that girl.
No, when you were telling the story, that's all I was thinking.
You sounded like that girl. You were trying to tell us what you were going to do.
Yep.
And hey, man, that's the beauty about being 24. That we have all the fucking answers. Because I thought I had all the answers at 24. But I didn't. But as your brother, I'm telling you that the lifestyle is how you have to look at this now.
Mm-hmm.
And that lifestyle. Tell the people what happened last week when you went to a movie. Why I yelled at you.
Oh, because it was a shitty movie?
No. Tell me the truth. Why I yelled at you.
Oh, because I went to see just a regular bad movie. And he called me and he said, no more bad movie. You got to go take a walk or something. And even though I know it's good for you, I don't think anyone can live 100% doing the right thing.
Hold on, let me tell you the right thing was. Where'd you go from there?
To work.
And what do you do at work?
Sit. Oh, yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? This is what a lifestyle changes. You have to plan your day, buddy.
Yeah.
Plan your day. I'm telling you, you're going to be working from 6 to 4 now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend after you smoke a joint and jerk off on... It's 5:30.
Uh-huh.
From 5:30 to 1, that's good enough for a 24-year-old young man.
Yeah.
1. Let's say you get up, you have a Kahlua shake, whatever the fuck you make. What do you call that?
Kale juice.
Then you get on the computer and dick around till 2:15. You wash your pussy, you put on some sweats, you get your iPod, and you listen to your little flying fucking Jews. You don't want to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you. You live in California. Nobody wants to be locked inside. But you go for a little walk around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour. You come back, you jerk off, you take a shit, you eat your healthy lunch, and then you go to work. Tell me the truth. From the time you get home from work, you don't leave here again until you have to go back to work.
No.
No. We live in California. We don't live in Buffalo or Seattle where it's cloudy out.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say to you? So it's a lifestyle, brother. I love you.
Oh, no,
I respect you. I love what you're doing. People are getting fucking inspired. But we all want you to stick in it. I'm a fat fuck. I went from 418 to 270. I'm walking around about 310 now.
Mm-hmm.
I gained 40, 50 pounds. Am I embarrassed? Fuck yeah. But I'm like you. I don't want to live 100% fucking healthy either.
Yeah.
My 100, I knocked 115 pounds now. We'll go to the next level. And I'll take it down to 270 again. Then we'll hang out till 290. Then we'll take it down to 230. Then we go up to 250. Then we take it down to 218.
Yeah.
But you're always in a struggle. You're always in a struggle in your head. Plan out your week. I plan out everything. If you're addicted to fucking peanut butter, you know, you're addicted to coke. When I stopped doing blow, I couldn't go back to that bar and hang out and eat.
Yeah.
I couldn't go to El Compadre and fucking eat a taco or go to the bar and get a margarita because I knew what the next step was.
Mm-hmm.
I know that after three margaritas, I'll let you fuck me in the ass. You follow me? So anybody, you know, so I nip it from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I told you that. Couple guys hit me up saying, Joey, you know, you put down California Pizza Kitchen. One really fucking good, Nate in L.A. sent a great...
Oh, he's a good guy, yeah.
He sent the article. He sent you the article.
Yep.
And California Pizza Kitchen didn't want to even release their caloric nutritional values. They released them after they got beat up. And this was to Men's Health, one of the most caloric salad menus in America. Can you fucking believe that?
And it's crazy because as a fat guy, the thing you, when you think salad, and like it's not as bad as a McDonald's, but it is. They put barbecue sauce and some other dressing on it, so it makes sense. And when you were telling the story about your friend, that I was thinking it was like what I was doing, and I've already decided I'm not going to fast food anymore. But it's
I want to take you some. Like I said, some people bitched at you and said Joey's crazy. He wants to take you to a Philadelphia cheesesteak with steak fries.
Yeah,
I know these people. I know that their fucking steak is 100% steak.
Yeah,
people don't even go there. You know how much the fucking cheesesteaks are there?
How much?
$20.
Oh jeez.
Okay, $20. Not because it's on a great street or nothing. Because the guy gives you, excuse me, the best fucking meat possible. When you leave there, you don't even have that soft diarrhea. You have fucking nothing. You have nothing. You okay. Go home, you don't even fart. And that's what I thrive for. I want the best for the fucking least. You know, if you go, there's Chinese restaurants that have great lunch specials. And if you do the math in your head, they make money at that lunch special. It's the ones that you drive by and they want $1.99 for a lunch special.
Oh, yeah.
That meat, you're going to get fucking sick. You know, Panda Express. I don't go to Panda Express.
Oh, I love that
do
place.
Do I love that place? I fucking love that place. I love that place. The pepper fucking beef with the white rice and the... I'll tell you what'll kill you, that lo mein, that fake lo mein.
That's what I get.
That's garbage.
That's double orange chicken, that's what I used to
eat. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I'll get the egg roll with the fucking soup. You know me, I'm a fucking Chinese fanatical. I avoid it. When I went to Sacramento last week, There's one right across the street next to a Habit.
Oh.
My choices were Red Lobster sushi, whatever, and the other one. You know how I did it those 3 days up there again? I planned it out before I went. Even when you travel. When you travel, I always fucking, when I get the itinerary, I get the hotel, I go on it, I look at their menu, and I look at their exercise facilities.
Okay.
If they have a fucking pool, bam, I bring my goggles and my fucking steam. When I go on the road with Joe stays at great hotels, Four Seasons and shit, God bless him. I go right to me, I call Ari and go, what are we doing? We're going to hang out like Jews? Or we're gonna... First thing I do in a nice hotel is, if you're going to fucking be a Jew, you got to act like one. I go right to the steam bath. Right to the steam bath and tell myself my own fucking problems and complain. I sweet. Ask Ari. We'll call fucking Ari right now. Ask Ari. You know, Ari's father has a fucking sauna in his house.
No, he doesn't.
That's a Jew. That's a Jew. He took money out. He goes, what gives me the biggest fucking pride in the world? To sit in a fucking steam bath and sweat and think about my fucking millions that I got buried somewhere under a fucking rock. Jews love that shit. Russians love that. What do the Jews call them? Schwitzes?
Yeah.
Spritzes, right?
Yeah, Schwitzes. Yeah, you're right.
And the Russians at YMCA, you go there at 5 in the morning, they got the white caps on, they're drinking fucking vodka, but it keeps you fucking young. Those Jews love it. That's what we got to find, a gym with a Schwitz and go down and just sit and look at each other with time. Look at our titties, what's going on with titties. Put a little music on for me. What the fuck? What's all this dough drum this morning? We're talking about Jews and Schwitzes. What the fuck, Leland? Oh shit, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Let's do this shit, Lee. Oh shit. Beautiful day to be alive. Joint number 2 coming at you like a fucking big black kahuna. Oh shit, Lee. Oh shit, I feel it now. Wiggle Funk and Joy, Lee. Oh shit. You better check yourself or you wreck yourself. Oh shit. It's a beautiful day. Get out there. Wash that pussy. Wash that ass. Wash that cock. Get out there. Work on your resume. Do some jumping jacks. Something. Fucking eat somebody's pussy. Do something. When was the last time you ate some good pussy?
Not for a while. Not for a few months.
Ooh, you ready?
That's why I'm losing the weight.
You ready? You gotta tear that monkey up like a fucking man possessed.
You know it, yeah. It's, let me ask you something, because I haven't done the Weight Watchers. I was talking to a guy at work last night who lost 50 pounds, and he said the thing that really helped him is he eats every 2.5 hours.
Absolutely.
And do they talk about that? 6 meals a
day, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because he has like a small salad, he has a protein bar, something like that.
You know, an English muffin with an egg, scrambled, piece of ham. Bam, that's breakfast. Maybe an apple, glass of fucking water, because you can't do juice.
Yeah.
You know, then 2 hours later, blast it fucking again. Another apple, maybe, you know, at first I cheated with fruit like a motherfucker. I'll eat a whole pineapple.
That's not cheating.
I don't give a fuck. No, it's not cheating. See, at first they wanted to charge you points for that. I never wrote my points. I lost like 80 fucking pounds on Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
Never wrote fruit for points. Ate it like a motherfucker. And then you just shit it out. That's it. And
yeah.
You, and but at first I was chasing my points. At first I would eat and then have to go to the gym at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, to go to McDonald's and stuff?
No, no, I wouldn't cheat like that. I would eat an extra slice of pizza. You know, a meatball's fucking 8 points. Fucking meatball. You know, I need 2 of them. When I go to fucking Sparrow's or when I go to fucking Pinocchio's, I need 2 fucking meatballs. I don't go to Sparrow's anymore either. No, I don't mind Sparrow's. And I don't mind pizza from Sparrow's. And I don't mind a lot of things.
Yeah.
When I left Sacramento, it was a pizza joint. A slice of pizza is 8 fucking points. A slice of pizza with a salad... That's delicious. The other thing you realize is that you don't need as much. If you just stop. I'm a gorilla, dog. You see me eat. I don't even stop. I have fucking missing fingers. You know, I fucking have a missing finger like a Yakuza. But if you eat and sit for 5 minutes and ask yourself, do you want that other piece? You won't fucking... It's a prison diet. It's like going to prison and, you know, prison, once the food is over, the food's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you get to where you're going... You can order potato chips online or whatever the fuck from the commissary and they drop it off on Thursday. It's great. It's like summer school. You get a big bag on Thursday night. You stay up all fucking night eating peanuts and chips.
Yeah.
And then on the fucking, you know, you have to wait a week to eat again, you know, to get the shit again. It's amazing. I would always order candy and shit in prison, but I would lose weight. You know, I would stay at my weight because the rest of the day you're eating portioned, you know. Why the fuck are we talking about food?
I don't know, man. That's all I think about now.
What I want you to do is to think about... So you go until next Tuesday.
Yep.
What I want you to do is think about what you want to do. And next Tuesday, we'll go get that fucking lunch. So you tell me what... So you eat your own breakfast here. You eat your own little faggy fucking breakfast. Some granola, you know. Some Special K. Something. Mix it up. You see how many different cereals I have? I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
I hate living like this, but I have to leave. I have to because I'll blow up. And it's the secondary shit that'll blow me up. It's that sodas. That's what'll blow you up. The fucking pound cakes, the fucking butter.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, bro, I could eat a stick of butter. I could get popcorn. Okay, this is how disgusting I am. I get popcorn that's hot, put it in my mouth, and have a tub of butter and get a teaspoon and put the butter in my mouth and let the butter melt in my mouth on top of the fucking popcorn.
No, you wouldn't.
I'm more disgusting. I am a fucking fat fuck to the max. I could eat a can of peanut butter in 3 forkfuls.
Oh, my God.
Just stick it in my mouth and eat peanut butter. I love peanut butter. Love it, Lee.
Yeah.
Love it, but I won't go get fast food.
Yep.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Where my fucking freak is? That's what my freak is. That's love crazy. Banana milkshakes.
Ooh.
Some all-natural ice cream Breyers with the chocolate dots in it.
Yeah.
And a nice banana with some fucking milk, some whole milk.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Come on.
God damn it.
That's the shit I like. That's my fucking freak right there.
Yeah.
But I would never fucking, you know, and that's why we're here to help you, cocksucker. We're here to help you. Listen, today I want to do something special. I'm going to get a call here. What time is it? A couple minutes.
We got 20 minutes.
But people have been bugging me lately about this from the beginning. I think we played a little Pink Floyd and people want to know what I'm, I don't understand. I hate repeating the songs and this shit, but sometimes people just go crazy on me. They keep asking me. They want to know about solos and Pink Floyd and whatever. Pink Floyd's got a bunch of fucking albums, and the 4 albums they have after the one thing with Gilmore, no band could ever do that again, including Zeppelin. I don't think nobody has 4 albums like that. Wish You Were Here, Dark Side of the Moon, Animals, and The Wall, and I think Metal's included in that. So 5 albums back to back, people can't do that. Nobody can do it today. People look at Chemical Romance, bro. Come, how many fucking albums did they have? Them fucking dickheads. You know, nobody could do that. You could do 5 albums, but to release 5 masterpieces, from Echoes to fucking, you know, Dogs to fucking Wish You Were Here to Comfortably Numb, nobody could do that. Nobody could do that on 5 fucking different albums. To Money, it's just too much. One of my fucking anthems, one of the things I listened to that when I was in my deepest ever, deepest down, this would keep me alive, is Dogs. the first sentence, the first two, three sentences, because it's what you need to do. And then the guitar solo in Dogs. He has a bunch of them on Animals. At the end of fucking Sheep, just amazing. Dave Gilmour has some of the best guitar solos I've heard. That's why I'm his biggest fucking fan. This isn't the solo. This is the first verse. Listen to the words. You got to be crazy. You got to have a real need. You got to sleep on your toes when you're on the street. You got to be able to pick out the easy meat with your eyes closed. It don't get no better than that. You should listen to that. That's what I'm telling myself in the fucking showers I'm getting up. As I'm washing my balls in the morning, that's the fucking thing I'm telling myself. Hit it, Lee. We got to smoke another fucking shoot heroin now. Gotta have a real need. Gotta sleep on your toes when you're on the street. Got to be able to pick out the easy meat with your eyes closed. Are you fucking kidding me? Then silently down hit it. You got to strike. Are you fucking kidding me? He's dropping on you. Just take notes. Let's break out the reefer. It is too much. Make the call. Call fucking White Powder Mom. Tell her to bring a $20 balloon of heroin. Let's get this party started. Shit. You got to be trusted. Are you fucking... Lee, call the fucking man. Come and get some weed, Lee. I got another one. I got this bat from death. What do you think?
Oh, you've never had enough of the bat.
Right here, baby. You get the chance to stick the knife in. Oh, shit. Let's blow this bazooka of life. Good morning. Wake up. Lee Syed, say hello on this side.
He gave me an unlit joint. That's how high he is.
Are you kidding me? We're here. Get up. Drink some juice. Do the Dolce diet. Do something, cocksuckers. There's Chinese kids doing math. They're going to steal your fucking lunch in 2 fucking weeks. Speed that up to the guitar solo for your Uncle Joey Lee.
How far? 30 seconds?
About a minute. Listen to the guitar solo. The fucking pain he lays on you. This is... A little more. A little more, Lee. All this shit right here. This is David Gilmour at his best, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get no better than this. You can listen to whatever the fuck you want. The heart, the pain he lays into that guitar. The church was happening now. I'm giving it to you fucking straighter than cancer. That's how we roll here, Lee. One other hit of this, Lee, you're going to sit there like a fucking orphan.
I'm all set because I'm sure we'll have to do it tonight at the Ice House.
Oh, we're going to smoke 55 of these at the Ice House. We might eat an edible tonight.
Luckily.
A little piece of chocolate fudge, a little Chibo Chew.
Oh, I'll be puking. I'll have to sleep at the Ice House. It'll be worse than Yoshi.
Right, here we go. Listen to this guitar solo. This is my whole fucking thing. Now, picture this being 12 or 13 and smoking. When you smoke, you got different high when you're 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in my room and you had two speakers and you had... The mono sound where it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Kick it, Lee. Kick this up loud. Listen to this fucking dog right here. This is what it's all about, baby. Are you kidding me? And then as I got to be 16, I'd do fucking acid and blast this with earphones on in a dark room. Are you fucking? And I'd just cry and laugh. It would be like a fucking... It'd be like Denzel and Man on Fire when he would get drunk.
Yeah.
And he'd go through all those emotions with the gun. And I'd do the fucking same thing. Like Jim Valvano said, you gotta cry, laugh, and think every fucking day. This is what it's all about. Pink Floyd, right here. Hit it, Lee, with this guitar solo. Make these motherfuckers feel it in this. And they're fucking, what's the bone in the back? Your spinal cord. Oh, shit. All right. It's time. Taking you motherfuckers deep at 6:35 in the a.m. Listen to this shit. This is too much, man.
No wonder you brought three joints today.
I had a killer fire. My wife is leaving tomorrow. Hit it, Lee. Just bring it. He's just beating you now in the fucking octagon. He ain't gonna stop. Listen. Oh my God. He just takes it, dog. This is too much.
Is he this good live?
Oh, this is my youth, dog. This is why I don't go to California Kitchen. Because you can't put one over on me. You listen to this shit every day, you gotta wake up early to put one over on fucking Flavor. Hit it! Right here, Lee, right here. And you lose control. You'll reap the harvest you have sown. There you go. Cut it right there, Lee. That's it. You want to eat cheeseburgers? You're going to be a fat fuck. That's what he tells you. This is it, guys. What else you fucking want? It's the morning. You got to fire yourself up to go out there with those fucking morons out there cutting you off. They want to steal your parking, your boss, your paperwork. Go fuck yourself. I listened to Floyd this morning and scratched my nuts like a fucking king. It's gonna be a good day tonight.
It's gonna be a great day. Speaking of that, I thought of you this morning because I stopped to get gas, and this will be quick because we should be getting a call soon. I stopped to get gas at like 3:30 in the morning, and the gas station attendant was smoking right by he lit up right by one of the tanks.
What?
And my head almost blew up, and I didn't say anything. And like I got fucking scared, and we talked about before how like you'll say things to people, and like it's something I don't do. Like, would you have said something to him then? Because it was this fucking guy. He was just smoking. You could smell gas.
Did he work there?
He was the gas station attendant.
Then fuck it. What are you gonna do? He was confident. He did it before.
Fuck.
Hey man, some people do shit that you will sit there. The other night I was watching one of those alligator guys.
Yep.
That go on alligators and grab their mouth and jump on your fucking back. Let me tell you something. I love doing crazy shit. That's one thing I don't want to fucking do. You follow me? I mean, I just can't jump on some fucking alligator.
I'd watch that show.
You do?
No, I would if you were doing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If I was doing it, I know you'd watch it. You'd be cheering for the alligator, cocksucker. You know, Alligator 3, Diaz nothing. I'd be walking around with a little stub on my arm telling people to suck my dick. I don't give a fuck. You know, when I was in high school, I used to have a high school shop teacher, Mr. Panacucci. He lost his arm in Vietnam to the elbow. That motherfucker would punch you with that elbow. You think I'm fucking kidding you? He'd hit you like in the kidney, like a little fucking liver punch.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would if you fuck around in his class, Mr. Panacucci. And he had the, you know, like he had no arm, so he put this in the sleeve in the,
okay,
in the pocket, but the elbow would still be there. He'd give you a fucking elbow that you feel that motherfucker with that stub was powerful.
Oh, my God.
Because I think all the power from the one arm goes into the other. Something weird. I don't fucking know. I don't eat broccoli. I don't fucking know, Lee. It's a beautiful day. What am I going to do, Lee? I don't know. So you didn't watch the thing. You know, I watched that Val Vano thing. Ari came over yesterday. We got stoned to the gills.
Was it on again? Okay.
Yeah, he had an audition. He was stoned to the gills. He came over. He watched, he said, so the babe, my wife left, and we're like, you want to watch that thing? So I showed him the Fire Slammer Jam and all that. But we watched that part, and it's so important because I'm trying to incorporate it into my life. You know, when Val Vano took over North Carolina, once a week he would have like a cutting the net practice where there was no balls, no running. They would just practice cutting down the nets. That's the most brilliant thing I have ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, and the kids were saying at first it was redundant. But after a while, we started to enjoy it.
Do you do stuff like that? Like practice doing like Madison Square Garden or something like that?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, I wouldn't. I'd scare myself and have a heart attack. An anxiety attack. I don't know how to incorporate it into my life. But what a great concept. Once a week to prepare these kids. You know, if you haven't seen it, everybody's got ESPN. So don't bullshit me that I don't have Netflix, I don't have HBO. Everybody, I'm fucking stoned, dog.
Yeah.
Everybody, and I didn't put my nose in. The fucking allergy's going to be a shitty day today here in California. I guess it's shitty all over the fucking country.
Oh, yeah.
It's snowing, blizzards. Can you imagine fucking being somewhere shoveling 8 feet of fucking snow yesterday?
Fuck that shit.
Fuck you, cocksuckers.
But it's I kind of do it, and it's kind of embarrassing, and I normally don't believe in stuff like this. But you know how like 11-11, you're supposed to make a wish, like if you're an idiot like me.
Every night.
Whenever I see it, and I see it a lot, I was unhappy for a while, like before I met you, and when I was at a job I didn't like, and every time I see it, I say I want to be happy, or I wish to be happy, and I'm doing, and I it's not because of that, but I've said it for probably 2 or 3 years. I say it every time I see it, and it's like the cutting the nets is kind of like the positive thing where if you say you can do it, you can. If you say you can't, you can't. So stuff like that helps, man. It's
man. I write a lot. Mm-hmm. I write about my goals and the things I want. And it's funny, sometimes I write shit for quarters. Like quarter number one, I want to do a movie and two shows. Oh, I want to do 55 sets. I want to write 30 minutes of new material, you know. And I'll forget it. And I'll go back and look and I'll go, man, I was pretty fucking close.
Wow.
Just subconsciously thinking it to myself, you know, when Jim Handy called a couple months ago, which he spoke to me the other day, I got to get him to call back. He taught me those goals. It wasn't about writing your goals. It was, the plan was how you were going to get to that fucking goal. You know, it's not, anybody could write, I want to lose 80 pounds. I want to be a better comedian. Anybody could write that. I want to write a special. What things do you have to do to do an hour special?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, for a guy like me, I like to break it up into 3 20-minute blocks, 3 18-minute blocks of pure fucking excitement, you know? So that you have to perform 4 times a week, you have to tape all your sets, you have to watch them, you know, these are the things that will make you stronger. I fucking hate looking at myself, Lee.
Oh,
I hate hearing my voice, you know. I hate hearing my voice. By the way, I want to talk about something. You've been putting out those Mad Flavor Worlds, and I love it. And I watched the one that you made with De Niro and the set of flappers, you know. And what a lot of people don't know, if you look at that picture of me and De Niro in that, I'm crying.
Oh, really?
When I'm taking my picture with him at first, I'm fucking crying. And I'm telling him that he's a bad motherfucker. If you watch that video, he's like talking back to me. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
He's looking at the camera, but he's telling me like, thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you. You know, you really made me laugh or something. That's what I was saying to him. Go ahead.
That's crazy. Yeah, we'll finish this in a second.
What's up, brother? Yo. Must have hung up.
Says it there.
Yo.
No, we'll try again.
Yeah, we'll try it again. It happens. It happens sometimes. People call and we lose them. It's a cell phone. Today the call is Kenji Gallo. Kenji, I met him. He works out at Fortune Gym. Great guy. Kenji worked for both the Columbos and the LA fucking family, and he's in the witness relocation plan. He put out a book called Brace Shot, A Life.
Here we go. Let's try this again.
Kenj.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
I don't know. What's going on?
How are you? Did you teach a class?
Yep, done.
Now, what class is this? From 6:15 to 6:30, 45?
No, it's 6:15 to 6 to 7, but I cut it short today so I can call you. Okay. And it's a kickboxing class.
No shit. You do it right there at Fortunes?
Yep.
And you have students who show up at 6:15?
They show up at like 6.
God damn, we were just talking about that. Because I go up to Muay Thai up in the valley, because I live in the valley, Kenji, not because I don't love you. I didn't even know you talk kickboxing down there. And they're thinking of doing a 7 a.m. class, and I was telling Alberto Crane, a block away, does a jiu-jitsu class at 7 a.m., and if you drive past that motherfucker, he's got 8 people in there at 7 a.m., breathing on each other, bad coffee breath and shit. But they don't give a fuck. That's the way to do it, to get your metabolism going. That's the way to really do it, Kench.
Yeah, I know. It gets you started, it gets you going, it gets your whole day set.
So. You smoke a couple bong hits, you throw some sidekicks for Jesus, a little oatmeal, you wash your pussy. Who's better than you? Who's better than fucking you, Kench?
Nah, that's it.
So I spoke to you a couple months ago, and I read up on you a little bit. I never picked up the book, because every time I go over there, I forget to pick it up. And they never say to me, hey, Kench, you left your fucking book. You texted me and said you left it for me. Your book is Brace Shot, A Life in the 21st Century American Mafia?
Yes, that's it. That's my book.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Kench.
Okay, well, the name of my book, Brace Shot, was my code name with the FBI. I was I was a criminal. I was a cocaine dealer in the 1980s in Orange County, California. Was with some of the biggest people, including a lady we called Mama Coca, whose real name is Griselda Trujillo Blanco, the Black Widow. Holy. I knew her and her sons. Well, they are now dead, except for one young son, Michael Corleone Sepulveda. And after that, I started hanging out with the L.A. guys, which is the Milano crime family, part of Cosa Nostra. I was with Jimmy Cacci and Pete and those guys for about 10 or 11 years.
Now, Jimmy, those guys, not to interrupt you, this is this was in Palm Springs, correct? These guys worked out of Palm Springs or L.A.?
L.A., but Jimmy was the captain for Palm Springs and Orange County and Riverside.
So okay, that's what it was.
And he was like, he was kind of my guy, you know, the guy that I hung out with all the time. He's since passed away, so. But so I was with those guys. I was in L.A. Then I was in pornography. I was in the adult business. I handled that for guys back east, Lucchese, Colombo, and Gambino guys. And then I finally moved to Brooklyn in 1998, and I was with the Colombo, I transferred to the Colombo family. I was with Teddy Persico Jr. And then after he got out of prison, I started wearing a wire for the FBI, and that's pretty much it. I was there till 2005.
Now you took down Persico Jr. The old man's still locked up, right?
Yeah, Carmine Persico Sr. is in prison, and Alley Boyd, his son, is in prison. Alphonse. But Carmine's been in there since the commission case in the 80s, and he's never getting out, and Alley Boy's never getting out.
Now, what's crazy is this. I know there's four people out here that I know have been involved with the Colombo. Yourself, Sal, Ubatz,
yep.
Donnie Shacks, and the kid that was in Miami that killed somebody with the Colombo, and then he went to Miami, and he got crazy, and he had those two restaurants, Liquid.
Yeah, it's Chris.
Chris.
Chris Paciello. But he's no longer in California. He's moved back to Miami. And even though he transferred, he was originally with the Bath Avenue crew, and he hung out with those guys and some Gambinos. And then he transferred to Wild Bill Kutlow's crew. He got Wild Bill to transfer him. And then he was involved in home invasion robberies.
Right.
With the Bath Avenue guys. Yeah, I know like a lot of like Jimmy Calandra really well and some of the other guys from Bath Avenue. And Chris, he's the one that started putting Alley Boy away because he got Alley Boy arrested for having a gun in his boat and some other stuff that Alley Boy did with him. So.
It's amazing. Now, he had a restaurant here when he got out, or he went into the witness relocation, but he had a restaurant somewhere on La Brea or something like that. He had two of them, and they both went down.
One in Beverly Hills, right off of Little Santa Monica. It was something else, Cristal Pizza, and then it was called Faux 90210.
No shit.
Yeah.
Now, have you tried to sell your story? You have the book, and the book's done well. Have you had any bites from television people? Or?
Well, yeah, I sold Breakshot to Fox, Channel 11 Fox here in California. I wrote the screenplay with Bobby Maresco, who wrote Million Dollar Baby and Crash, won Academy Award for him. And we sold it. We wrote it. They didn't pick up our show. Now it's currently in development again. So that's where we are with that.
And what's your life like now?
Well, I mean, today my life is I'm a trainer. I'm a writer. I mean, I write television and feature films. I've sold one to a couple to History Channel. I sold something to Sci-Fi, and I've been writing international stuff. For people in Europe to transfer into English. And I go and I speak to law enforcement groups and to at-risk youth and that kind of thing. So that's pretty much what I do every day.
Do you regret what you did?
Not
the ratting part, the drugs and the pornography. Did you have a good time?
You know what? It was good when I was young.
Yeah,
was
it's great when you're young. It really is.
But by the time you're like 25, you know, it's like, dude, what am I doing? You just find yourself in a position that you don't know how to quit. And it was kind of like, if I look back on it now, and I've been talking to a lot of my other friends who went into WITSEC and did the whole thing, we talk about their life. It was a complete waste. All I can do is share my knowledge with other people and just tell them. And it's not what it seems like. I did it at the highest levels. I thought it was great. It wasn't. And the more I look back on history and the more the guys that I knew in California, like Jimmy, Mike Rizzi, all the guys that were like the tough guys, or even the guys in New York, you know, like Teddy Persico Jr. and Eddie and some of the guys I hung out with, anyone like that is just destined for a life of like heartache, and so is their family. The smart guys are the ones that got into it because they had no other choice. They were in poverty. they you know, get a company and then they're out. Their sons never have anything to do with it. Their family, nothing. So
it's amazing how fast, and I tell people this in a lot of different situations, but in that situation, how 1 minute you're doing football tickets, for example, and the next minute you're driving on the fucking 101 with a body in the trunk.
Yep.
And it becomes surreal. And at that point, you ask yourself, like, do I keep moving forward? Or what the fuck do you do? And I guarantee, you know, they have these words called rats and whatever. Hey, man, I met some tough guys that fucking rolled. And I bet you 90% of it is that they just wanted it to end. 90% of it is that they just wanted it to end. That's it. I'm fucking done, man.
Well, this is the funny thing about this is I actually started this whole life with football cards. I was selling football cards.
That's it. That's how it starts.
Yeah, and it's just easy. You fall into this life, and it was. When the FBI came to me, it wasn't because they had anything over me. They offered me one thing and one thing only, which is a new start, a new life, a fresh start. That's it. They offered me no money, nothing else. And at that point, at 28 years old, I was over the whole thing. I'd been doing it, you know, in decades at that point. I figured that this is it for me. And I realized that it's like being on a tiger. It takes you deeper and deeper into the jungle, and you can't get off because it'll eat you. And then you don't, if you stay on, you keep getting deeper in the jungle. And that's kind of how I equate it, because I just... You don't know what to do. Like also it consumes your whole life. It becomes everything, because all the people around you, everyone, is just like that. So, like you said, it becomes normal. The next thing you know, you have a body truck, and no one cares. They're like, oh, they congratulate you for being bad.
It's amazing. I robbed a jewelry store. I got into it, you know. I came from North Bergen, right, which is all mobster consume. On the Jersey side, it's very Lucchese, and it's very fucking the Cavalcante, and it's very Gambino-ish, and it's crazy. I robbed a jewelry store, a simple jewelry store. I probably had about 150 in jewelry. In those days, it was 1982. Gold was 800 an ounce, like it is now. You got good for a piece.
Right.
I think I worked for 2 days selling pieces one by one, and I made about 10, 20 grand. I got a call one day from this kid that's a connected kid, this Frank Avella guy, real fucking douchebag. And he tells me that I did good, that I'm a good boy, that I should bring him what I have. So I go down and I show him. I have thousands of dollars. And this guy says to me, I'll give you $10,000 for the whole bunch. And I said, I got to turn you down. And he goes, you don't understand. We're family. If you do this, I'm with you. They're with us. And the whole. And I go, no. And a week later, the cops were looking for me. They put the cops on me myself, you know, themselves. That was one of the guys they were paying. And I left and came back. And I started seeing it for what it was. Like on TV, they show these guys that are making millions of dollars, you know. Those are three or four fucking guys. Everybody else is fucking starving, doing stupid shit.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct in this. It's like, first of all, there's so many guys that are informing that I used to go to meetings, and then I would forget, like, I would tape record it for the FBI, and then I would forget about it. And they're like, well, wait a second, wasn't fucking Andrew there with you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember him. Yeah, John Bonanza, yeah, he was there. I mean, because you just don't remember. But that means, obviously, someone else in the group of eight people is also informing.
Is also informing.
And then, second of all, there's, like, a zero honor. Yeah, give me your jewelry for $10,000 that you just broke your ass for. And if you don't sell it to me, you're going to get it. And that's the kind of crap that they do. It's like one of my friends who was a Columbo, he was with Wild Bill, they went through the war. He fought in the Columbo War. He did all this stuff. They paid these guys $150 a week, and their families had to go on welfare when they're fighting because they couldn't work, and they didn't care. So then when the war is over, they make peace, they decide to shoot this guy after he went to prison. They shot him in the head. They didn't kill him in Coney Island. He got away. They shot him in the foot. And he's in the hospital bed, and he's still not going to rat. He said, I'm not saying anything. And then two guys from the Colombo family broke into his house and stole his two Harleys and tried to rob his safe. So then at that point, he's like, all right, screw it.
You know, it's weird how they depict it. It's weird that I just read about a year ago how the fucking Gambinos were hooking 14-year-old girls. And the Lucchese got arrested for doing a phone scam in prison with some fucking black street gang. You know, what do you make from selling a cell phone? Yeah, what do you make from selling a stolen cell phone? $50 fucking dollars. So these guys now are hitting the bottom of the fucking barrel. You know, they can't scan the union labor no more, which, again, none of you guys saw that money. None of you guys saw that money.
Only the top guys saw it. I mean, even when I was there, guys were, like, if you look at the movie Donnie Brasco, you see them breaking open parking meters. That's a pretty good depiction of how that most of the end soldiers end up, because there's very few guys. Like, I ran a book for Teddy and those guys. I had control of a lot of money because I was doing online gambling. I was doing the pornography. I'm different, but I saw many guys that couldn't even eat. I mean, one of the guys, I gave him $1,000 and I bought his family a turkey dinner. He's a made guy. And because he didn't have any money, he got out of prison. And the rest of the Colombians are like, "What the fuck are you doing, man? That guy's a loser. Why are you giving him money?" And I go, "He was just down for 9 years. I mean, what do you expect?" And they're like, "Well, he's got to get shit together. The guy was out for like 3 months. He's on parole. What's he gonna do?"
Yeah, it's so weird how they depict it, and when you see it, you're like, at first I was impressed, like everybody else at 16 and 17. Anybody else, you see these guys, they don't fucking work. They talk about this. They give you $20 to go to the store and you keep the change. And then you look into the dynamics of it. I remember that I had a friend that was a made guy, and he had these guys. He came up to me one day and he goes, "I got something for you." And he goes, "I want you to help these people out in the city selling nickel bags." So I go, "What does it pay?" And he goes, no, you're on commission. For every 25 nickel bags you sell, you get $25. He goes, "These guys are out here 10 hours a day. Do you know how many fucking nickel bags you have? That's a lot of nickel bags to sell for you just to get $25. So I think you made $100 and a quarter and you kept $25. They kept the rest."
Right.
And I'm like, why would you? And in my head, I'm like, you know what? I can't do it. I'm on probation. Plus, I got this and this. And in my head, I'm like, $25 fucking, like, you're doing me a fucking favor. So if I'm out here 3 hours, I make $75 and I risk going to jail, which you don't give a fuck about either. And they're not going to be there with the bail. That's only in the TV where they show up with the bail and the lawyer that's $8,000 an hour. They don't fuck. They run from you when you get arrested.
Yeah, I mean, all the time, like from age 13 till I was 35 years old, I was never off probation, parole, or on bail or locked up. That's the truth. Never. Not once. 3 months is the longest period of time I went in 1996 before I got rearrested again. And not one time did anyone ever help me with my lawyers or bail. I paid everything. At one point, just for my Las Vegas case, when I got taken down with Operation Thin Crust and Operation Button Down with the L.A. guys, I spent $14,000 alone on just Xerox copies for the court.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So.
Hey, Kendrick, this is Leon. I'm a producer of the show. I got two questions for you. You said a couple times transferring families. It doesn't sound like you're transferring schools. Is it? Does that happen a lot where you just change families?
No. I mean, like, guys did it, like Chris Pasquale. Like, a lot of guys do it back in the old days. Jimmy Fratiano transferred from L.A. to Chicago. I decided that if I was going to do this, I might as well do it right. And like, why be on a farm team when I could be in the Yankees? So what I did is I had known some Colombos that I had worked with before, and I lived in Miami, and I used to know them. So I asked them if I could. I was going to move to Brooklyn. I went to Brooklyn. I met with some Persicos. They decided to put me with Teddy. Then they spoke to Carmine. He was in Lompoc at the time. There was another guy from the LA family there, and I transferred from the LA family to the Colombos. So that's how that went down.
You know who else was a big transfer? Sammy the Bull.
Yeah.
Sammy the Bull started as a Colombo.
Jesus.
And then he went to the Gambinos.
And then you said you went on witness relocation in 2005, and you wrote a book about it. Are you not scared? Like, when you think of witness relocation, you think of Iowa working at a county store for the rest of your life. How are you comfortable coming out and writing a book about it?
Well, here's the thing. I first of all, I went to witness relocation in 2005. I was in there for 18 months, then I moved to Spain. I left the program. I'm no longer under protection. But what it is that I did the same thing that everyone else does. I was one of those guys, but I'm not like one of those guys that's like, hey man, I got a problem with you. I'm gonna call so and so, or I'm gonna get this person to do that. I didn't need that. I did this for 20 years. I was the guy that's like, all right, dude, you got a problem with me? Let's deal with it. I'm a professional fighter. I'm a expert in grappling and jiu-jitsu. I was in ROTC in reserves. I know how to fire a machine gun and fire a gun unlike these other guys. And I'm not scared of them. I know how they set up people. And I'm not getting in a car with my friends in Brooklyn going to a warehouse.
Jesus. So it's just, you just didn't want to live like that. So you're going to wait for them to come and they're probably not going to do anything? That's terrifying.
Well, I mean, look, I was locked up. I was on parole the whole time. I could have got killed at any point in time by any number of people, including law enforcement. If I chose to live under protection, like I know guys that sit around and drink and take the government money and are hiding in Arizona in fear, I could be like that. That's why I might as well be in prison. I mean, what's the point? I mean, you know what I mean? So when I see that, I'd rather just be in prison. So I'd rather be free, and whatever happens, happens. I mean, I could get killed walking across the street by a car. I have more chance than I have of actually them sending out 8 guys from, you know, the Columbus to kill me here in Los Angeles. It's not going to happen.
It's funny because in the movies, again, they show these guys that get on a plane and come looking for you. You and I both know that these guys that are from Brooklyn, Jersey, whatever, we're special because we got on a plane. I talked to 8 guys on a daily basis that I grew up with, that 5 of them have been to 2 places in their life, Miami and Atlantic City.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. 100% correct.
These guys
are like small town guys.
They're small town guys. They would get lost out here. They would get lost at a fucking airport. And I'm not saying they're stupid or whatever, but it's amazing. I came out here in 83 to Colorado, and I went out hiding. I owed bookmakers and this and that. And for years, and all of a sudden, I'm like, these guys have never been out of their fucking county. It's amazing that these guys, and you know what? You're seeing with all the money and shit, they live in apartment buildings with their mothers or something like that because they can't show the income.
Or they live in a basement.
Or in a basement, and they live, you know, it's a weird life. I get high. Kenji, I love smoking dope, and I remember what it was to smoke dope and go home and think the fucking walls were going to come down. That's how I lived. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting paranoid, thinking about what I did today and how somebody's going to come beat me the fuck up or something. And now I go home and I go to bed, and it's a beautiful fucking life. You know, it's amazing that... And Ken, you know, I didn't get into the trouble you did. I pulled the kidnapping on a drug guy in Boulder, and I got arrested for kidnapping, aggravated robbery, the whole fucking thing. I had a weapon, but they couldn't put my prints on it. You know, the guy said I wasn't one of the main guys, so I plea bargained for 6 years. And that's what woke me the fuck up. But God knows, I could have been in your shoes, Kenj. I grew up with a bunch of those fucking guys, and I did shit with them growing up.
Right.
I did shit with them. You know, I come from a town where they're very fucking political. And after my mother died, and she knew all these guys, so they granted me a little mercy. You know, when I robbed the jewelry store, when I do this and this, they'd say, you know what, his mother just died. Well, one day in 83, this guy came in that was a serious guy, and he looked me in the face, and I knew him. I knew his brother was the mayor of my town. He doubled as the fucking man. And he looked at me, and he goes, you know, you've been getting away with murder. It's time for you to start helping us with the election and ripping signs down. That means I'm going to start burning houses down. I was on a plane a month later, Kenji, because I knew where that first step would take me. That first step... I would have made a move that would, next time I would have realized where I've been, it would have been 10 years later. You and I both know that.
Yeah.
Because it's a 10-year run.
The whole thing is this, that it's, you're sold like this big, it's just a big con, man. I believed it. I believed it hook, line, and sinker. They would ask me like, hey, go handle this. Go talk to this guy. Go tune this guy up. And I was like, yeah, no problem. And I just go do it. Never question. But then when it comes time for any money to be cut up or anything, I never got it back, you know? Nothing, not a dime, man. Every bit of money I made, I shared.
It's like that
every
scene.
Every bit of money other people make.
You don't get a fucking dime. It's like that scene in Casino with the old guy. Remember when he started keeping records and he started telling them, I'm going to Vegas, I'm picking this up, I'm sitting there, and they're like, you're going to Vegas under our fucking wing. And they're like, yeah, but you guys aren't giving me a fucking dime. I'm going to Vegas to pick up $200,000. When I get back, you guys take it, walk in the other room, and say thank you. not even a $10,000 envelope. And they'll do that. They'll fucking do that. I knew guys that were selling coke in big bulk for these guys, Quaaludes, and they were making nothing. Nothing right. in the fucking 80s. Nothing on these Quaaludes or the Lucchese's. You know, years later, I read an article about Gaspipe, how he ran these Quaaludes. And when I was a kid, there was a kid in my neighborhood that was a Lucchese. He really is. He really is. Him and his fucking brother and the sister used to sell Quaaludes. And they were the best. They were fucking mind erasers. You forget everything. I broke into a chick's house and ate a pussy one night and just left. That's how fucked up I was, Ken. Those Lucchese Quaaludes were the fucking best. But, you know, putting two and two together, I mean, I'm very happy that where we're at, brother.
Yeah, my life is great. I'm very happy for it. I thank it, and I feel bad, man, for the guys that are still involved. Like, some people contact me every once in a while, and they ask me, and I'm like, dude, you got to take care of yourself and your family, man. That's it. Otherwise, you're destined for a life of prison and heartache or death. You know, it's just nothing good. Nothing good ever comes out of it. There's no happy endings in this. Not even the guys at the top.
Hey, brother, my wife is leaving town tomorrow for a week. She just had a baby, so I'm going to come down and see you next week and pick up the book and read it in detail, and then we'll do this again.
All right, man.
I'm fucking happy you did this. What's the name of the book again? Where can they find it, Keith?
Okay, my book is called Breakshot, Life in the 21st Century American Mafia, and it's on Amazon and bookstores, and also I have a blog. It's breakshotblog.com.
I read some of your blogs. I read a couple of your blogs. And also, do you have a web page for training or anything where these guys could contact you if they want to train down at Fortunes or wherever else you train people?
All they could do is they contact me either on Facebook, Twitter, or my blog, and I answer it all right away, as you know.
This is Ken Gigallo. I appreciate you coming on this morning, brother. I love you with all my heart. Yep. Say hello to the fucking savages down there.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
All right.
Holy shit.
There you have it, cock smokers.
That Griselda thing at the beginning, if you haven't seen Cocaine Cowboys, that was crazy. And then it was funny how he said, when I asked him about the witness protection, how he said it would have been like being in jail. And you talked about that earlier, how you said the worst time you did was after the divorce. So it's the exact same thing.
The worst time you could ever do is the time in your head. That's the worst time you can do in your life. When you're down and things are turned around, feel like after a divorce or a death or something, you're very vulnerable. You're confused, you know, and something like this comes. You lose your job, and I've seen it. I've seen it. You know, when something bad happens, it's a little thing. You know, what we're here to do with the church is one thing. Look, guys, life is hard enough. I'm here to avoid the shit you could do to yourself that I did to myself. You know, life was hard enough when I was 32. I'm the one that would go to Kmart and look on the floor and get receipts and walk in and walk out with a lawnmower because I was a fucking low life too. And then I'd go sell the fucking lawnmower, you know. But I could have just had a job. But I refused. Plus the habit, plus the rent, plus the child support, you know. So, life is fucking hard enough. You just try to avoid all the other fucking drama, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a physical this week. I'm going to get my finger up my ass to make sure there's nothing wrong there. The hemorrhoid on the left side. I was going to say to you that you were going to bust the hemorrhoid on the left side. As usual, I got to tell you guys something. I like the Onnit products, but the ones that really I've benefited from. And you know what? Listen, man, sometimes people eat edibles and they don't do nothing for me. You know, when I did coke for the first year, I didn't get high on coke till I drank with it.
Oh.
I would do bumps and nothing would happen. I would just lie to people. Oh, it's great. Like a fucking idiot. Like a 15-year-old fucking moron. But what things I get the most to honor is the strong bone, especially with my weight working out, the joints. You know, I go on it for 60 days and I get off it for 30. And I've been doing that elliptical again. And I gotta tell you something. That shit will fuck your world up. I sent my wife down there 2 days in a row and she's like, Joey, you're right. It's fucking hard. And you look at the calories and you're like, what? And you look at your shirt and you can smell bacon and cookies and fucking Miyagi juice and all the shit that comes out of your asshole.
Oh, that's where we should go. Sushi.
When are we going to go to sushi?
Next week, guys.
You like sushi?
Oh, fuck.
We'll go tear up some more. You could eat sushi.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Are you going to start walking a little bit?
I have a little bit
just
of time.
Walk.
I have a little bit of time off coming up.
I want you to do me one favor.
Up, so,
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to take those $2 million you got in the bank. I want you to go online. I want you to go online and I want you to find a New Balance store.
I just got new shoes. Brand new New Balances. They're outside.
New Balances?
Yeah.
See, who's better than Young? What number did you get?
623 or something?
623s. And you're going to walk a little bit. And every day you're gonna, you have an iPod in your iPhone, right?
Yeah.
You're just going to put those for Jews that jump around. By the way, happy Passover. If you're Jewish, get out there. You jump fuck. Around. Light the candle. Get an envelope. Put it under the fucking computer. Things are going to happen for you. You know, kids, when they lose a tooth, they put a dollar under the pillow. What do they put a tooth under the pillow? And they wake up and put a nickel and they find the fucking change or whatever.
Yeah.
You Jews, you put an envelope with a dollar under there. See what happens. Leave it under there and shit.
That's part of Passover. The Afikoman, you have to find the piece of matzah and they give you money.
See, who the fuck you think you're dealing with? You gotta find the pizza matzah. Then you get the matzah. How bad is that matzah smell?
Oh, I don't understand it. My non-Jewish friends love matzah. It's worse than a saltine. I can't even...
I like matzah. I like
it. I can't even do it.
You don't like saltines either?
Saltines with some peanut butter or cheese on
you
it.
You better get ready if you like saltines because they're a good little cheat.
Oh, okay.
You buy those little cheeses?
Yeah.
Those little, they have, what do you call it, black cow, the blue cheese cream? Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
They're
okay.
Like a point, bro. Those things are a fucking point or two, and you can't beat them. I think it's 4 crackers for 1 point.
Oh, okay.
Or 4 crackers for 2 points. In the middle of the night, with an apple, to break it up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Just to add a little piece of cheese. You know how internationals cut apples and put brie cheese on it? Same shit. You ha 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 by yourself with fucking blue cheese and...
Yeah,
what do you call it? Milky cow?
I know. I know what you're talking
and
about.
And then the best ice cream is the cow. What is it? The milky cow, the silky cow, those little chocolate sandwiches.
Okay.
They're 2 fucking points.
Oh.
And instead of buying a container ice cream, you buy a little fucking ice cream, the little ones, and it's 3 fucking points. These are the things you do.
Yeah.
It's not going on a diet. It's a lifestyle change. You know, you got to add a little. And it's either with alcohol addiction. You know, if you're addicted to alcohol, what are you going to do? You're going to hang out in front of the fucking bar? I'm not going to drink. I just, no. You got to lose all that. You got to make weight. You got to, you know, when I'm trying to get off the coke, I joined Kung Fu and I made sure I went to the 10 o'clock class.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that if I wouldn't go to that class, I knew if I had to do coke, I wouldn't go to that class.
Okay.
So you do shit to make yourself come out of that fucking house. You do shit. Because with drugs, you get involved, you get caught up in a fucking... And that's for any addiction. I don't know what else is out there. I don't know if it's Oxycontins. I don't know if it's pills. But you're not going to hang out in the fucking pharmacy if you're off Oxycontins or with these fucking guys talking about Oxycontins.
Yeah.
You got to have a little pace first. You know, when they teach you a hook,
okay,
like a hook and a punch, they teach you this weird variation of a hook, and you're like, this is not the... They do that because that's a fundamental way. How your body throws and everything else. You have to see what your lifestyle is and how it's going to work for you. And that's it. And lately I've been on this elliptical because I want to go down to 270 again. And I've been cutting my shit back on Weight Watchers to 44 fucking points, but it ain't working. And what was I talking about when you say it?
About just changing lifestyle.
And I'm back on the Onnit protein powder, the hemp force, because the reason why I don't do the juice is I don't like taste. Taste, I start gagging, milk and shit.
I have some in the fridge if you want. Oof.
Even like the protein powder I was buying from the one company was okay, but it didn't have the flavor that fucking Onnit, the chocolate stuff.
Yeah.
That flavor in that thing, it's like you're drinking a fucking, you put some ice cream in that motherfucker, I'm just teasing you. Like Einstein, the guy that was on the show, he makes with coconut milk.
Oh.
He says it's fucking delicious with some ice cubes. I can't even imagine. They also use the coconut fucking oil that you get from Onnit. Just do me a favor. If you're a fat fuck like us, go to Onnit and buy the fucking starter package. Just get the starter package. Go to the corner and type church into the fucking top corner. Get yourself 10% off. They send you a t-shirt, some fucking kazoo. And just give it a shot. If you walk and your knees hurt, your joints and your hips, try the strong bone. If it doesn't work, then you go to the doctor and you get a checkout. But let's work on this fucking together. Whatever you want to do, it's a lifestyle change, as we call it here, at the church of what's fucking happening now. Tonight, motherfuckers, we're doing a podcast. It was not going to Ustream. We're going to put it up later on if it works out with the main man, Vinny Curdle. Starts at 8:30. Tickets 626-577-1894. There's only 80 seats. We don't usually sell 70, 80 seats. Come on out. What else, Lee, we got? We got the South Beach Comedy Festival, April 19th. If I sell out the 19th, which is 203 tickets, they add the second show. I'm down in Miami for 2 days. Don't just fucking sit there. Do me the fucking favor, all right? Let's sell this show out together. I'll bring some fucking banana bread. We'll fly it in. Lee Syatt's thinking of coming. If he gets unemployment, he's coming. Because then he gets fucking a nice big check. We can eat like fucking doctors down there on him. Cocksucker. So please come on out to the South Beach Comedy Festival. May, I'll be in fucking Austin, New York, Long Island. We're going to have a good fucking time here, all right? T-shirts, the hoodie. It's cold out there. Get yourself a Church of What's Happening hoodie or a commemorative Church of What's Happening long sleeve T-shirt. That helps us with the podcast. I've been getting all these people who want to donate lately. What am I, the fucking cat with a black eye? Buy a fucking shirt and help us all out that way. You understand me? Go to joeydiaz.net today. Look at the tour dates and see what's going on. If you want to hit Lee up, he's at Lee Syan on fucking Twitter. I'm Mad Flavor. What the fuck else do you want? I gave you a witness relocation, dude. I gave you the fucking dogs. I gave you fuck music. I gave you Lee. What the fuck? It's a beautiful day to be alive.
It's a great day.
Out of here. It's humid. It's supposed to start raining. But it's gonna rain on Easter Sunday. What are you gonna do Easter Sunday?
I'm gonna eat fucking Chinese food. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm Jewish.
So you can't eat till next Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay. Is Easter this Sunday?
Easter's this Sunday.
Oh, then I'm gonna drink some juice like a rabbit.
No. So then Tuesday, what's gonna be your first menu Tuesday? What are you doing for breakfast when you wake up Tuesday?
I gotta do something light. So maybe some like a fruit salad and maybe like a couple eggs or something.
Just to break it in.
Yeah, I gotta do stuff.
We'll smoke some dope.
Okay.
Then we'll eat a little bit of edible.
Oh,
an empty stomach.
Gonna just a little. Kill me.
No. Just like a quarter of that little fudge you ate with your father. Like just a quarter. And then we'll go out in the fucking.
That's more than enough.
We'll go right before I go to acupuncture. We'll go after acupuncture. We'll meet at my house at 2:30.
Okay.
And we'll shoot over. We'll get a fucking lobster tail. A fucking steak and a wedge. What do you think?
I love it.
And whatever you don't eat, you bring the steak home.
Yeah.
You just can't bring the lobster home. You'll put a little lemon on the lobster. We'll dip it in twice fucking melted butter. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Sounds great.
What do you think you're dealing with? My wife is leaving for a week and a half with the baby, and it's
gonna be the risky business at your house. You're gonna have a party.
Oh shit. I'm gonna try to put this book together. I gotta put this book together once and for all. I gotta call Omar today, and we gotta finish this book, and then we're gonna start writing the Testicle Testament. We got the special we're gonna shoot. We got the CD we're putting together. So we got some work to do. So shit's happening here at the Church of What's Happening Now. Raffles, Lee's going to start coming. We're going to try to podcast live tonight. We are going to tape it. And if it's good, we'll put it up. If not, go fuck yourself. We'll wait for the next one. Besides that, you know what, man? I love you motherfuckers. Yes, me and Lee got up early and do this for you. We love you motherfuckers. We want to get the word out. We know you're going to fucking do good. It's going to be a beautiful day. You got life by the fucking balls. Grab that. Go up to the first chick you see. Grab that fucking snatch and tell her, I love you, bitch. Because it's all about love today, people. It's Wednesday. What song you got for me to end this motherfucker?
I got Sheep off of Animals. Is that all a good right. song?
Yeah, let's see where you got it.
All right.
Let's see where you got it. Speed it up a little bit. Watch Gilmore. Listen to Gilmore in this. Gilmore comes out throwing fucking heat on this. Guys, I love music. I love music. This podcast was supposed to be a music podcast, but it's been going in different arrays lately, and we're going to bring it back. Because I love smoking the weed and just sitting back, listening to music, thinking where the fuck you went wrong. You understand me? But you're not going to go wrong no more. Because we got Lee Syatt, the flying Jew. He's got a direct connection to Israel. All right, listen to fucking this. Speed it up a little. No, leave it there.
Oh, sorry.
Right there. Crank that motherfucker. But watch Gilmore comes on very subtle. He's just sitting in the back now. He's doing a line of heroin. He's cleaning off his nose. He's drinking a little fucking water. He's walking in real quick. Here he goes. He just starts. He's just starting right now, letting the fucking guy know he's in the house and shit. It's amazing. It's a good song. You picked a good one.
Yeah,
it's a great fucking album. Oh, shit. And he's just lurking. He's just fucking with you right now. That's it. He's just giving you little jabs, light jabs. You're like, is this David Gilmour? Who's this fucking faggot? And here he comes. Here he comes. Kick it, Lee. Here we go. Oh, shit. There may be dogs around. Oh, my God. Here we go. Oh! Put it to the end. Let's see what's at the end. He's got something bad on one of these albums. I want these jams.
The last thing is Pigs on the Wing.
No, put the ending of the song.
All right. Keep going.
Heard the news. The dogs are dead. Listen to this motherfucker. He shredded. So it's pigs, sheep.
Pigs, dogs.
Listen to the end of pigs. Let's see what's at the end of pigs.
There's three different versions of pigs. Which one do you want?
Listen to the first one. It's acoustic. I think they're all acoustics.
All right, listen to the end of that.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. I gotta move this back a little bit. Here we go.
Which of the fattest to blame? All right, the next one. So it's pigs, dogs.
Pigs again, sheep, and then pigs up on the wing. So this is the second one.
The end of this.
Okay.
Is how we're gonna end on this. I want you to hear this fucking solo. It's
this is like with a minute left. Keep going.
Keep going a little bit. Mouse. All right, leave it from here. Watch this ending here. Keep going a little more. No more. Watch the piano on this. Listen to this fucking. Now watch this beat. This is a beat and an emotional beat he puts on the guitar. We're gonna end with this. Go roll the number. Listen to this. Ready? Hit it, Lee. Listen to that bass. He's right there with him. And Gilmore's nuts on this. You feel his fucking soul. And he ain't stopping. All right, he's got you down now. Now he's just going to beat you to death. I want to cry right now. He's just, it's amazing. If this don't wait, you want to go out and stab a motherfucker in the neck, I don't know what will. He hasn't stopped. Listen to him. He's still on you. It's too much, people. I don't know what to tell you. This is what we do at the church, motherfuckers. There you go. Have a great day. Stay black. And he's still beating you.